Morning and open to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, we're going to be reading most of chapter 14 and part of a little bit of chapter 15 as well. Romans chapter 14, let's begin in verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand for the Lord, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than the other, and another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to the Lord, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother, or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider to be good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, again, just thanking you so much for your word, because as you continue to show us, it's not necessarily about all the things that we are supposed to do and all the things that we're not supposed to do. It's really just about you and having a relationship with you. And when we walk in you and when we live in you, all these other things will take care of themselves. And so, Father, I pray that just as Jesus spoke to those people, seek you first, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to you as well. Father, I pray that will be our purpose. It will be our joy. It will be what you're doing in our lives. And I pray, Father, that we then will serve you accordingly. We will serve you in joy. We will serve you in love. We will follow you with all of our hearts, our minds, our will, and our soul. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I find it interesting that Paul has to give instructions on how we as Christians are to treat each other. And yet some of the harshest arguments I've ever been around have happened in the body of Christ. This should never be. In fact, I probably have shared this a couple of different times in different situations, but I believe it was back in 1989, many years ago. I was serving in a church in just south of Fort Worth, a great church. God had blessed the church immensely. In fact, when we first went there, Ann and I first got there back in 77. When we first got there, that God called us to be in this place, and it was out in the middle of the country. There was not any really towns around very close, probably 8 to 10 miles to the closest town. But God sat down on that place and started to do a work that was amazing. And we started to see that church grow. And I remember when we first went there, we were running about 80 people in Sunday school and maybe 100 people for church. And And during those 10 years that we were part of that church, we saw that church explode, and people began to come to know Jesus Christ, and it was an awesome experience. And when we left there in 1990, we were running about 1,200 on Sunday morning, and we were baptizing over 100 people a year, and it was just an amazing, amazing time in our lives. But one of the things that happened is that God called us to go to a new church with our former pastor at this church down in Pearland, Texas. Now, Pearland, I'd never been to Pearland. In fact, when we got there, it was only about, as a suburb of Houston, it was very small. Probably about 30, 40,000 people lived there. Now there's about close to a million people that live in Pearland. It's exploded as well. But when we got there, we were hearing all these stories about what had just happened in that church. In fact, they were on the news. They were in the newspapers. They had got in such a heated battle in one of their business meetings that it broke out to the parking lot afterwards, and there was like fist fights in the parking lot. And I'm going like, God, why are you taking me and my family to this place? You know, I don't know why we're supposed to be going here. But ends up that I found out we were going there because God was doing a work in the people of that church. But it's unbelievable that something would be so horrible in a business meeting that it would end up in a parking lot in fist fights. Now, how is that bringing glory to the body of Christ? It's not. And yet, it's almost like that as Paul is addressing the church at Rome, because there's many times that people don't always agree and see things from the same perspective, right? We all have different perspectives, and we all have different understandings of how things should work and how they should go and all those kinds of things. So are we supposed to be like this? Are we supposed to get after each other and cause struggle and trial and hurt to each other? No. What we're supposed to do, according to God's word, is to seek Him first. You see, because if we're all seeking Him, then everything else will fall in place. It's when self gets in the way that we start to see issues pop up in relationships and in situations. And I think we've all seen that in the past. Churches have split, have gone through terrible situations because of what somebody says and because of what somebody else said against that person. And all of a sudden there's battles that form, and that should not be. That's not what God has called us to do. What God has called us to do is follow Him and Him alone. Once we follow Him, then everything else will be taken care of. And so with that in mind, Paul is addressing the people in the church of Rome because they were having some of these issues pop up. And so this is how Paul says that we ought to take care of these issues. He says, first of all, we ought to embrace those that are weak. In other words, they don't necessarily believe one thing is right or the other thing is right. Most of these Christians in the Church of Rome had grown up in the Jewish culture. And because they'd grown up in the Jewish culture, they had certain things that they did eat and certain things that they would not touch. Now, that was a cultural thing. It was something that they'd been raised up with. And so it was kind of born into them, so to speak. And so he starts addressing some of these things. And in verse 1 he says this, "Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters." In other words, let's don't be people who are argumentative. Have you ever known somebody that just almost everything was an argument? It seems like everything you talk about, it's some kind of argument's going to come up about it. There are things that are worth arguing about. But Paul's saying this is not one of them. Listen, you know, if somebody's not eating what the things that you think that they ought to be eating, it's not that, that's not the issue. You see, when they get right with the Lord and you get right with the Lord, then all these other things are going to be taken care of. He says, don't be argumentative about trivial matters. You see, that's when we compare ourselves to others instead of comparing ourselves to what God has said. Right? And I think a lot of people look at somebody else and they think, well, they don't do that, or he hasn't said that, or whatever it might be. And folks, it's not about what other people are doing or what they're not doing. Everybody's going to stand before the Lord and give account of their life. Okay? So you can't model yourself after other people. You can only model yourself after the Jesus Christ, because He was the only one who was perfect. Right? And so, to start arguing about trivial matters or things that are really non-essential are not going to help the body of Christ. I was in another church, and I remember that they were going through a building reconstruction or revamping of their worship center. And we had a business meeting, and there was such tension in that business meeting, because there were some people who didn't want blue carpet and there were some people who wanted red carpet. And I mean, it was almost like a war. Listen, folks, I don't care what color the carpet is. I care what color our heart is. I care what color our soul is. Are we telling people about Jesus? Now, I know you can get into all the little details about how things ought to look and be taken care of and all that. I'm not saying anything against that, but what I'm saying is, are you going to get so upset about the color of the carpet that you're going to leave the church? Some people did. When they didn't get what they wanted, they left the church. In hindsight, I say good riddance. But it didn't mean the ones that got what they wanted were the right people either. You see, when we start treating people like the world treats people, instead of treating people like God treats people, we've made a huge mistake. They were argumentative over trivial matters, non-essentials. They were often legalistic. In fact, they started talking about what you eat and what we don't eat, and this is why we eat these things, and you shouldn't eat those things. These dietary issues. You see, it's really not about those things. It was about their culture, and it was about the things that they wanted to do, and they thought that everybody else ought to do the very same thing that they were doing. You see, but if it's a matter of culture rather than a matter of character, it's not right. You see, it's about what we need to do to please God and honor Him and lift Him up. But they were very legalistic about these things. Many people are often judgmental. And I think we've all known people like that. But Paul says, don't be condemning people. In other words, don't treat people with contempt. When they don't do what you think they ought to do, what good is it to treat them with contempt? Is that showing them the love of Christ? Does Jesus treat us like that when we do something wrong? No, not at all. What He does is come to us, and in a convicting way, His Holy Spirit says, is this bringing me honor and glory? And when we see that, we have an opportunity to repent, to confess, to get right with God. But you see, I know just enough about human nature to know that if somebody comes and attacks me, I want to defend myself and I want to basically attack back. That's kind of the culture that we live in. When somebody does something to hurt you, you kind of want to do something back to them, don't you? That's our human sinful nature. And Paul's saying to these folks, listen, folks, let's get past that. You see, we don't have to live like that any longer. God is now in control of our lives. He's accepted these people into this church, and they're a part of this church, and because God has accepted them, they will stand before God and give an account. They're not going to stand before your committee to give an account. So we need to understand that there's arguments and there's people who are legalistic and there's people who are judgmental. But what he says in the very first verse, he says this, accept them. You see that in verse 1? He says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. The Greek word here is proslambanos, which means to receive with kindness and instead draw them in rather than pushing them away. I wonder how many people have gone to a church and have wanted to be a part, but because they didn't seem to fit the idea of what that church thought about them, they felt ostracized or pushed away or held down. Folks, that should never be. How many of you in here are perfect? Raise your hand. I want to see that. We're not. We all have different ideas. We all have different desires. We all have things that we think should be done and shouldn't be done. But guess what? We're not God. He says, instead, we ought to receive them with kindness, to draw them in. It's in the imperative present tense, by the way, which means not only do that one time, it means to keep on accepting them. Even if they don't do what you think they ought to do. Why? Because sooner or later, God will deal with them. And it's always better when God deals with somebody than when we do. Always better. And so we've got to understand that when people are struggling and they're maybe not doing the same thing that somebody else is doing, it's not up to us to go to them and say, hey, listen, you got to change. What it is up to us is to love them just like Christ loves them. In fact, we ought to be having fellowship with them. I found for myself and for many other folks that I've been around for many years, it's easy to stay where we're comfortable, isn't it? You see, we don't like to get outside of our comfort zone. And sometimes we got to do that. In fact, I think more often than not, we have to do that. Because God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to be committed. Committed to Him. To love Him no matter what. To show people His love. You see, it's hard to give to someone who's not like you. That's the sinful nature that we have. We don't tend to want to be around people who aren't just like us and don't believe the same things that we believe. But the fact is that God has put us into their life for a reason. And it's not so that we can cause problems and tell them that they're wrong. He's put us into their lives so that they can see the love of Jesus exuded from us. And realize that God loves them no matter what they've done, no matter what they believe, no matter where they've been. God loves them. And I can tell you what, folks, there are tons of people who've been pushed away from Christianity, pushed away from the church, pushed away from any opportunity that we might have to be able to share with them because we're harsh. You see, the body needs to be able to work together, not against each other. And yet, so many churches are doing that very thing. The body of Christ is working against each other. I don't like the way they're doing this. I don't like what she said. I don't like... You know what? God didn't call us to like everything. He called us to love Him with a complete clean heart. You see, a body that doesn't work together typically happens to be a body that's full of cancer. You see, there's a picture of a cancer in the body that comes from Old English and Latin word that means crab. Are you a crabby Christian? If something doesn't go your way, do you get mad about it? Do you get upset about it? Does it bother you so much that you focus on that rather than on the person? Now, I realize and understand that not everybody is very likable. There's some people that, man, it doesn't matter what they say, you're going to like them because they're just such a likable person, you know. And then there's some people that we have some personality issues with, and if they see something, we automatically, no matter even listening to it, we go, no. What if it was a great idea? What if it was God's idea? And yet, we don't want to have that. We don't want to listen to that. We don't want to even think that God might speak through them. Well, let me tell you something. God can speak through anybody. In fact, He even spoke through a donkey one time. God uses all things to bring Himself glory. No matter what it is. So we got to understand that we need to be able to embrace people who don't necessarily think the way that we do or do things the way that we do it. We've got to embrace them. And not only do we need to embrace them, we've got to edify them. Verses 10 through 23 talk about that. We don't need to attack people. Look at what verse 13 says. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, we need to make up our mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in our brother's way. In other words, a critical spirit is not the Spirit of God. When somebody does something that is not right, doesn't mean that we shouldn't address that. But how do we do that? Do we attack them? Do we write them a long letter and send it to them in the mail and expect that that's going to take care of it? How about what if we sit down together and pray? And then talk about what God's Word says. Not about what I think and about what you think. That doesn't really matter. What matters is what does God know? We can't have a critical spirit. We can't have judgmental tongues. You see, a judgmental tongue is not God's tongue. A critical spirit is not His spirit. It's been said that we as Christians can be the meanest to each other. What does that say to other people? I don't need that. I got enough of that already. I don't want to be a part of that kind of stuff. Listen, folks. If we don't love like God loves us, then the love of God is not in us. Now, I'm going to make a statement here that's probably going to be heard again because people are going to talk about it and say something about it. All right? Doesn't really matter to me. I can tell you this, there are so many people who go to churches and call themselves Christians who really don't even know Jesus. Man, they're willing to fight for whatever they think they know. Listen, folks. God didn't call us to come together as the body of Christ so that we could fight each other. There's an enemy out there that needs to be fought. But it's not the church against the church. This should never be, the Scripture says. If we are all following Jesus, we'll be going the same direction. If we are all following Jesus, then we will hear what He has to say to us. So we can't be on the attack and we can't get distracted. You see, Paul was talking to these folks because they were making a big deal over the food, whether they eat meat or not meat, if they do, you know, if they drink this or what they don't drink. And listen, folks, they were making a huge thing out of something that was not that big a deal. Paul says, don't get distracted. That's not even the issue. The issue is not what you eat or drink. The issue is, who is your Lord? And are you going to follow Him? It is the person that we serve that really matters. I guess we all just need to ask ourselves the question, are we really serving ourselves? or are we serving Jesus Christ? Because that's really the bottom line. When we serve Christ, we begin to become more like Him. We begin to imitate Him. In fact, Paul says we ought to be imitators of Christ as dearly loved children. And how do you imitate Jesus? By doing what He's called you to do and being what He's called you to be. A new creation. The old things pass away and behold, all things become new. Isn't it interesting that we all want to change and become more like Christ, but the thing that we hate most in our life is change? Have you ever thought about that? We don't like change, do we? Hey, it's 6 o'clock. We always watch the news at 6 o'clock. Don't turn that channel. No. Listen, folks. We don't like change. We like things that are to always be the same. But see, if you give your life to Jesus, what you're saying is, God, I'm tired of all the stuff that I've done. I want You completely. And that if that means to change every single thing in my life, then here I am, Lord. Whatever it is You want to do, here I am. I submit myself to You. We start to become more and more and more like Jesus. So we all have to ask ourselves another question. Am I more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Now see, Jesus could have come and expected everybody to serve Him. I mean, after all, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that's not how He came. He didn't come and say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be King of the world and everybody's going to bow down to Me." Didn't do that. You know why? Because that will eventually happen. What He did was He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He didn't come to be served, but instead to serve others and to give His life up as a ransom for many. That's how He came. He didn't come in, bust in the doors, you know, throwing King James Bibles around. What He did is He came in and He loved on people. He came in and He cared about those that were hurting. He loves people. Folks, I think we talk about loving people a lot. But do we really act that out? Because if we really love your neighbor, you go talk to him. You'll help meet their needs. You'll look for opportunities to show them the love of Christ. Paul then talks about in chapter 15, the first three verses, he talks about encouraging them. Look at what it says. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.'" In other words, Paul says, listen, we ought to bear each other's burdens. We ought to look for opportunities to help each other out. The Greek word for bear each other's burdens means to pick it up. There was something going on in this day and time, and it had something to do with Rome. And that was, if the Roman soldier was going from one place to another, he could tell one of the people who lived in that area to carry his pack. Now, they talk about these packs. The Roman packs that they would pack around were about 50 pounds. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I pick up a 50-pound bag of feed or something like that, I realize that it's pretty heavy. And they'd say, you're mandated by the Roman government to carry this pack for a mile. Now, you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? If someone asks you to carry their pack for a mile, you should carry it 2 miles. You might say, why? Because what you're doing is you're heaping love upon them instead of saying, I'll carry it because I have to, but as soon as I get to the end of this mile, it's off of me and you can't make me carry it any farther. Which is true. But what are you doing if you say, oh, hey, listen, I know you work hard. I know you probably have been carrying this pack for a long time. I'm willing to carry it an extra mile. What does that say to that person? Hey, even though you're a Roman soldier, I care about you. Bear each other's burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens in a way that you will what? Fulfill the law of Christ. What would happen if we began to carry each other's burdens? When somebody's struggling, we're there to help them out instead of just telling them that they probably messed up on their own and they're probably getting what they deserve. We need to bear each other's burdens. When the load seems too heavy, sometimes you can see people who are just struggling to make it. And yet, what do we do about that? Go, well, I hope they get better. Or do we look for opportunities to help them carry that burden? Now, there have been people in my life that when I was struggling, they were there. God put them there at just the right time. And I praise the Lord for that. But there are so many people that are hurting and they're struggling and they need some help. And if God puts them on your heart, it's there for a reason. Bear each other's burdens. Then he goes on to say to be patient with them. Look at what verse 14 says. Drop down to that. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct each other. So we need to exhort each other. We can only do that when we're patient. You see, we all have faults. We all have blind spots. We all need encouragement. Is that not correct? In other words, there's none of us perfect. We already proved that a while ago. None of us have it all together. But we need to begin to exhort each other. And the way that happens is start to listen to God's Word and be instructed by it. In other words, those of you who've spent time in God's Word and know what it says ought to help instruct other people, but in a way that's not overbearing or not, hey, this is what God's Word says. If you don't do it, you're a heathen and you're out of here. No. It's to come alongside someone and to bear their burdens with them. And in the midst of the things that they're going through, you can say, hey, listen, you know, God just tells us that if we'll do this, He'll be right there with us. So let's do that. You see, the body is to help the body so that the body can function properly. If you have a part of your body that's not doing what it's supposed to do, what do? You get it some attention. Maybe it's not working properly because it's not getting the nutrition that it needs. Maybe it's not working correctly because there's something wrong and needs to be taken care of medicinally. But in the body of Christ, maybe it's not working because it's not getting the spiritual need that it needs. And there's no telling why, because in many bodies of Christ, they're not functioning properly. And you have people in the body of Christ sowing discord in the body rather than building each other up. In fact, that's one of the seven things that God hates according to God's Word. Those who sow discord among the brothers. And yet, I've heard so much of that in my life. Do we stop that or just sit there and listen to it? Some people cause confusion. Let me give you an example. They take something in God's Word and they twist it to say what they think it means. But God is not a God of confusion. When He says that all who come to Him can be saved, He means all that come to Him can be saved. We can never dishonor Jesus. You see, there are many people who call themselves Christians and yet they don't follow what God says. They get into some people who are called false teachers. They're putting things out there, calling them the doctrine of Scripture when they're not the doctrine of Scripture. We've got to be people who know what the truth is, and then we walk in that truth. And when somebody says something that is not of that truth, we need to confront them. Not in a legalistic battle mode, but we just need to say, hey, listen, this is what God's Word says. Now, I can either believe what you say, or I can believe what God's Word says. I'm going to choose God's Word. Because of that, and because we know God's Word, and because we spend time in God's Word, and because we pray through God's Word, and because we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through God's Word, then we can become people who are competent in God's Word. In other words, we start to know what God's heart is, and what He's saying, and what He wants in our lives. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up, for even Christ did not please himself, as is written. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me, for everything that was written in the past was written to what? Teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We've got to grow up in the Word. Now, some of you may have come to know Jesus Christ later in life. Doesn't mean you can't grow up in the Word. Because we all have to stay in God's Word. You see, folks, if we start just listening to sermons on tape or, you know, whatever, and start believing everything that every person says and not spend time in God's Word on our own, then it will be easy for us to be led in a wrong direction. We've got to grow up in the Word, and we've got to grow up in faith, trusting that God is in control, trusting that He has a purpose for us, trusting that He knows exactly what needs to happen. And I think many people, they freak out in so many ways of thinking, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to do this or not. I have a weird feeling about it. Well, take some Digel or something. I mean, listen, folks, what we need to understand is that God is the one who is speaking. He's always speaking, by the way. He's always speaking. And just because a teacher stands and says something, and just because a preacher stands and says something, listen, folks, you need to make sure that what God's Word says. And then I think one of the things that we all need to do is get past the past. If there's something that's been bugging you forever, get past it. Move on. If it's a way that you can go and address that with somebody, do it. But let's move on. Wednesday night we looked at a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians that talks about doing that very thing. And it means that love really cares more about the person than they care about what the person did. You know why somebody hurts you sometimes? Because they're a person. You know why somebody disappoints you sometimes? Because they're a person. That's what people do. We've got to get past that. And we can't be so focused on what they've done rather than focused on who they are. We've got to let God take care of the punishment if there needs to be some instead of us. We're not the punishers. In fact, God says, "It is mine to repay. I will repay," says the Lord. We got to get past the past. And lastly, we need to give those things the burial that it deserves. What I mean by this is put it to rest. Folks, if somebody's done something to you that was very harmful, put it to rest. It's dead to me. I don't even think about it anymore. Why? Because that's not important. What's important is that person. How can you be an enemy with somebody in the same church as you? We just can't do that. We won't do that if we keep our eyes where they need to be. And that's on Jesus. Let's follow Him. He's got the right idea every time. Let's do what He says. Let's be the kind of people that even when we're hurt, we love somebody. And even when we're pushed away, we continue to pray. We continue to seek God's Word. And we love that person even more than we ever have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and I know that this is difficult for us because we're sinful in nature. We're selfish in nature. We tend to want what we want rather than what You want. And I know, Father, that that's not good. You've called us to be Your body. You've called us to die to ourselves and be alive to You, to take up our cross daily and follow You. And yet, just as Paul says in Romans 7, there's a battle that rages within us. The things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do. There's this war that goes on in my life. In our lives. The only way this war can be won is by surrendering ourselves to You 100%. Continuously. As we take Your life upon us and Your Spirit upon us, we can then start to begin to see things from Your perspective and not our own, which is true wisdom, and then we can see what it is that You would want us to do or want us to say or where You want us to go. Father, help us. We call upon You to help us. And Father, I pray for those who have not yet given their life to You, that they would understand what they're doing is saying this in essence. They're saying, "Dear Lord, I can't make it on my own. I've got sin in my life, and I know that that displeases You. And You're not going to allow sin into Your presence. So Lord, I come to You in humility and say, I've messed up. I've done things I know are wrong, and I'm sorry. I just ask You to forgive me, Lord, so that I can be used by You. I give You my life. And instead of following what I want, I choose to follow what You want. And Lord, I, as much as I possibly understand of myself, I will give myself to You completely each day. Day by day, moment by moment. If that's where you are this morning, I just pray that you will follow through on that. You will give your heart and your life to Jesus and allow Him to lead you where He wants to lead and to do what He wants you to do. We're going to have a time of invitation in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. Brother Robbie's in the back. If you choose to go into the hall back there, he could certainly speak with you there. I'll be here at the front. If God is speaking to your heart, we invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing in our lives here in this place. So let's stand. Let's begin to sing this.